welcome again to Game Dev London Expo. This is our first proper expo, like ever, really. I hope you are enjoying the day. Just some housekeeping rules. If you are in this area, please be aware that we do require you to wear masks if you can, just to keep everyone safe. Obviously, cafe is there, bathroom is there. If you need to check out the schedule, please check our website, which is gamedev.london/GDLX. Yes, that is the correct URL. Also, check out our social medias. We are on Twitter, LinkedIn, everything else, and we are also on the hashtag GDLX. So, yes, this is our first talk of the day, and let me just get up my notes. This panel session is all about audio. So this is a more general Q&A question with our lovely panelists. So let's get things all started. So first up, we're just going to do a round of introductions. So hello, everyone. My name is Jade Liam Truskell. I am the host of this panel session, she, her pronouns. And I am the audio producer at Silver Ring Games at the moment. So I kind of like work mostly with like spreadsheets and more admin stuff. But previously, I was a freelance composer, and I did a bit of sound design for that. So I guess, name, pronouns, audio role, any cool games and game audio-related things you're working on. Currently working on an unannounced IP, which is really cool, and we're working with EA Originals. So that's all I can actually say. Cool, so I'm just going to pass it over in line to Kai. How about you?
So hello everyone, I'm Kai. I'm an audio designer for games. I've shipped 5 games so far on iOS, Steam, and Oculus. I've been in the industry for about 3 years, and my pronouns are he, him. And I've also got 2 games here today, over there, Operation Outsmart and Glorious, which I'm sound designer on.
Sweet.
Nice.
Hi,
one.
I'm Sergio. I'm a freelance composer and sound designer. I also double up as the head of audio at Fallen Flag Studio. We've just released our first title a couple months ago called Elder Souls. When I'm not obsessively combing my mustache, I'm trying to get better at doing what I do and freelancing. Anybody who wants to freelance, come talk to me afterwards.
Okay. Awesome.
Hi, I'm Billy. I'm a composer. In the way of games I've worked on that you can hear my music in, I composed for Project Grove, which you can play the prologue for on Steam now. I also composed for a game called Unspottable, which was a couch co-op game made by Gros Shivu from the GDL community, and you can play that on most platforms. As well as composing, I also do a bit of assisting and orchestration for other composers in the background, which for me has been a nice way of, I guess, learning more about composing, honing my own craft, and meeting new people. Thank you.
Oh, fabulous. So already, even though we're all working in audio, we all like in different aspects of audio, which is really exciting. Because, yeah, audio teams can get ridiculously big. And that's just even on the dev side. Once we get into composing and recording live musicians into the orchestrations and... yeah, it's pretty big. So I'm going to kick it off with our first question, and I'm going to ask, what does a typical day look like for you? What responsibilities do you usually handle on a daily basis? So, yeah, we'll just go down the line again, if that's okay?
Yeah, cool. Sure. So I usually wake up really early, and the first thing I do is go for a run, and then immediately get back, check emails, check with Discord and Slack communities just to see what I've got to do for the day, what changes have happened in the game so far. And then from there, I start writing little post-it notes on my and put them on my PC so that I can check like what I've got to do. And then when I go through the tasks, I just rip those off and get on with the next stuff and see if there's anything else left to do. I try to block out about 30 minutes to do each task and just see how well I can do. And then like after that, I just move on then to other things.
How early do you wake up, Kai?
5 a.m. normally.
Jesus. Oh my God.
It's nice because like no one else is awake, you just have like the place to yourself. That feedback.
It's good audio for the audio panel. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I can't do that. I tried to do that so many times and my body's just like, stop doing that, you're hurting us. So I wake up at like 7:30 at a normal time. But like we were talking about before, you kind of have to take each day as it comes, especially in freelance, because you don't know what's going on with what project you're working on, especially if you have two or three, they might change the plan. So I tend to have three or four habits that I do every day without fail. One of them being like stretching for 20 minutes before I do anything else, coffee, 5 minutes of learning Japanese, 5 minutes every day.
Nice.
I do networking 10 minutes every day, 5 minutes of working on my mailing list or whatever, another coffee, and then I'll do something similar to what Kai said, right? You plan to do at least three things, and then you feel like you've done something during that day. But I don't make myself feel guilty if I don't do those three things, because if something else comes up that's more important, then you have to adapt.
As for the question of schedule for me, as a freelance too, it's a little bit of a hard one to answer. So I definitely always block out between 9 and 5 and try and keep my work between then just for the sake of balance. But definitely if a project is particularly pressing, I will like do longer or earlier or whatever.
Yeah.
But in terms of like kind of when I do emails and stuff, I tend to mostly do my emails when I'm traveling and kind of all the admin stuff. And I think in general, when it comes to composing, I tend to work in quite set chunks, going with a clear objective of what I'll do in the time. But when I'm away from my desk, I also do quite a lot of like recording, sketching, notation, or just stuff to kind of break it up so I'm not sat down in one place for 8 hours trying to write one thing. So like, yeah, the answer is it varies a lot, really. Yeah.
I try to stop around, I think, 6, usually most days. I think it's just really healthy to then, when it comes to that time that you have to cut off, is just step away from the computer, just so you can get out of that environment for a bit, so you can like feel refreshed and it feels like a work day, because it's definitely difficult to stop as a freelancer, isn't it?
Especially if you work from home, because you need to make some sort of physical distinction between
work
and play.
Yeah.
For me, it's just walking 10 paces from one side of the room to the other side where the PlayStation is. Which sometimes doesn't, make all the difference, but it helps.
Oh, you're all, like, trying to be really good and healthy. Like, I work so chaotically, especially when I was freelancing. I was just, like, trying to go as many networking events as I can. Probably, again, not as healthy, but when you're freelancing, you know, that takes up so much from, like, my chunk of time. Just, like, or the Discords or the Slacks, and then, like, physical networking events, because... I did find it very difficult to find that balance between the networking and the marketing myself part versus, I actually haven't actually written any new music or done any audio work for a little while because I was so focused on the networking.
Right.
So, hats off to all you freelancers as well, not just audio people, just people who freelance in general. It's just like, how? But I guess like just to contrast again, as an audio producer, I work mostly looking at spreadsheets, but I try to make like an asset list and try to make sure that everything is all accounted for. If there are any bugs or anything, you know, we're like, this particular asset needs to be tweaked or whatever. So very different, but I'm still part of Team Audio, basically.
Do you love it? Do you love the change?
I do. I think it's more like it's such a nice change from like the freelance hustle. Just freelancing can get really heavy and bog you down just because there's a lot of uncertainty, like unless you hit a gold mine, you work on a really good project, and you know that you can work on it like next month, 6 months, and like for next year. Whereas I find that when I was freelancing, maybe I was just unlucky, I wasn't really getting to work on long-term projects, but anyway. It's not So please try to come up to us, like if that's okay, if you want to ask us about audio things, like, you know, we'll be all around during the day. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, awesome. So let's move on just because time is happening. So my next question is, what was the most challenging project you've worked on and what did you learn? What surprised you about it? I'm going to pass it back over to you, Kai, now.
Oh, so for me, definitely doing VR. I think going from the games that I had worked on, which were all 2D, and then stepping over to VR was a massive challenge, because you didn't really get that stepping stone of going 2D, 3D, VR. It was immediately like, well, I've got to make sound effects for this virtual space, and I've got to integrate them then into the system so it actually feels like you're in an environment. So that was definitely a massive challenge for me, and I learned pretty much everything about integration from that project. I worked with my friend Henry Scott, who was a fantastic audio... absolutely.
Love Henry.
Yeah, to help me out with that. And just doing integration for VR, massive challenge. I learned so much from that. Like, a little thing is you've got to debug quite a lot when you're working on a game. So you've got to go through like the script and figure out what everything does. And then you read it in the actual game, what's happening. And there was no way of doing that with a VR headset on. So I had to attach sound effects to the actual debugging. So when I had the headset on, it's just like, oh, there's a pig noise playing from the left. Okay, so that controls that. Or there's a chicken that's going off to the right 100 times every second. So that means that's consistently active. Just, yeah, little things like that. Absolutely. What about you?
I love that debugging story. Like, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think the most challenging is what I'm working on right now, which is a train simulating game, an indie game. And it really just is just one big user interface. And the briefs are always just like, you know, make sure you convey emotion, narrative, and functionality, and you have 0.2 seconds to do it. And make sure that 0.2 second sound doesn't conflict with the other 0.2 second sounds that are occurring at exactly the same time. But it's just an amazing challenge to make something that sounds good and functional at the same time.
Wow.
I think probably for me the most challenging project I worked on was a mobile puzzler that sadly didn't ship in the end, but featured a really cute little robot. It was only 5 minutes of music I was writing for the game, but the main difficulty was that it was broken into five stems, kind of going from completely ambient to like main theme. And whilst the writing of the music was good, the actual like mixing of the stems took a very long time to get correct. And like, in the end it worked, but it was a good project to kind of learn the importance of like keeping an organized template and routing stem mixing properly and all that kind of stuff. But yeah.
Wow.
What about you, Jade? Come on.
Oh my, I haven't even thought this through. I was just like focusing on a question. I guess composing challenges is more like, you know, just trying to keep clients happy, basically. I've gone through like the revision of the same track over and over again, and it wasn't quite, I don't know, maybe it was the language thing, like there wasn't quite the explanation and the exchange between what the client really technically wanted, because they were musically minded, and I was just like, oh, do you mean this in a technical way or like a feeling and vibe way? Because yeah. That's I had like 20 plus revisions on the one track. Uh-huh. So that was definitely the most challenging, but it was, I think it was like my most favorite track ever to write. So soon I would love to go back into writing music like for like big chunky projects soon. So that was the thing. Production wise, I think it's more like transitioning into a producer role. I've always seen myself as an audio person or a musician, but now as a producer, I'm like, oh, spreadsheets. But I've been doing it all this time already for at least 8 years, because, you know, events management is kind of like being a producer role. So for me, that was the most challenging in terms of like transitioning to that part. So yeah, that's what I can add.
Very interesting.
Cool, time check. Cool, awesome. So my next question is the future of game audio. Anything to keep an eye on? This can be like new interesting tech or plugins, approaches to honing the craft, or even like maybe more of an introspective in terms of the industry. Like is the industry becoming a nicer place? Is it more inclusive? Yeah, very, very open question, basically. So
I think it is. It's becoming like a much better place, because the audio community just feels like one big group of people that just know each other, and like everyone's always there to help each other out, and it's a really collaborative space, I found. Yeah. Especially with like the Game Dev London server, when we do the sound design challenges on Mondays. Just fantastic. It's a great way for other audio people to meet each other and give each other feedback on sounds and network, that kind of thing. Definitely that.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I haven't had a bad experience in the game audio sphere. Everybody's super nice, super welcoming. Even if you ask a really obvious, dumb question, there's always like a flock of people just being like, you should try this, you should do this. Just really, really nice vibes all the way around. And I hope that the future of game audio is the same as game dev in general, where we're going to in a direction where everybody's more included, everybody feels like their voice is heard.
Absolutely.
I am starting to be more and more aware of the position that I am in, especially of privilege, the male confidence that has got me so many things in the past, and I never think twice about trying something, and then I'm hearing from friends and colleagues that, you know, they've had completely different perspectives. So I think I don't have any answers, but having an awareness is very important, I think. At least that makes me feel better about Yeah, with him. There you go. I'm getting the thumbs up from Jay. So that.
Yes. Thank you. How about you, Billy?
In terms of the future of game audio, well, I guess specifically within game music, in general, I very much love scores that have a slightly left field approach. So a couple of weeks ago at Develop Brighton, I had the pleasure of playing a game called The Guild of Dungeoneering. And kind of the gimmick of the soundtrack was lots of it was performed by an in-game bard who would sing like a song about how you died. So in general, I think like it, within game music, I like stuff that kind of is left field, completely fits. I want to see more of that kind of thing. In regards more broadly to like kind of game audio and trends, yeah, I basically echo those thoughts. I completely agree. And like, I think whilst the game audio community is very friendly and people are generally happy to answer questions, there is obviously a massive imbalance. So like, listen is the best I'm able to say at this point. But yeah.
Yeah, no, it's I definitely do want to chip in on that because I do find that at least I'm very lucky to be in game communities and game dev communities especially where everyone's very inclusive, very kind, but also very mindful, especially you know, when you mentioned earlier about privilege and how it affects people differently. Mm-hmm. So obviously I'm obviously from a family of immigrants at one point, so I do find like the stress of like, oh, I really got to make this work because, you know, I don't have many safety nets to fall through. Mm. But also, you know, it's always very, very different for everyone. And I love the fact that everyone seems to be more mindful about it, trying to create more support networks, but also trying to be very specific and focused and not like just a blanket, just like, oh, we'll just give everyone like an extra 100 quid and then that will like solve the problem.
Sure.
It's a bit of a dice project, but also like, you know, community initiatives like in our Game Dev London weekly audio challenges. That was a really nice one. So shout out to Benedict and I think Kasha. Is it Kasha?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's been like going on like weekly, and it's just nice to know that there's always a group of people working on something together in our little Discord group, and that's great. Mm. Sorry, this is a really long tangent and ramble. And the other thing I wanted to actually input as well is that I like that. I do appreciate that people are becoming very mindful of where does particular groups of or types of music comes from, and we're not just like putting everything together in the melting pot. So I think there was a game out called Kena and the Bridge of Spirits or something like that. So yeah, it was we were playing a session at work, and it was just like, hang on, this is a Gamelan soundtrack. Hang on, that's an Anglung Orchestra. So I looked it up, and I was just like, oh, this is great, because I'm a Gamelan player myself, context. So it's great that, I guess, like more audio people, composers, they're all reaching out and trying to, you know, give back something to a different music community, but also trying to bring something new to the art of game audio and game music. And I don't know, just that makes me so happy have that bridge into like, you know, like otherwise everything will sound the same and then your product and soundtrack won't stand out, right? Mm. So I'm just going to check the time. Okay. Yeah, sorry, that was a really long tangent.
That was
but
great.
But
was
anyway, yeah, no, we in Game Dev London, you know, we value diversity, we value inclusivity, and yeah, we just want to make game dev fun, safe, interesting place, but also game dev related. So, last question. I thought that person was talking to me. So yeah, right, final closing thoughts and any advice you would give to our audience or your younger self, maybe for the younger game audio people who are just beginning and starting their career. So again, over to you, Kai.
So I'd say don't be afraid to ask for help.
Oh yeah,
because
that's a good one.
I'm pretty sure all of us here like still ask for help probably on a daily basis regarding our jobs.
Yep.
Like the game audio community, like you're mentioning, it's just like it's such a pay it forward community, that we show kindness to people coming into the industry and our peers, and that then just inspires other people to then do that for others as well. Like I had a really tricky job the other day, and I asked for help, and someone was just like, yeah, cool, absolutely, you know, willing to help you because other people have done this for me as well. So we just, that collaborative space just really helps you put your ego aside and just be like, yeah, I need help on this one subject. And people are always willing to help in it. So yeah, don't be afraid to ask for help, definitely.
Yeah, I think at one point or another, I'm sure all of us have been touched by Akash the Car's wisdom and like, ageless knowledge. But he breaks it down into two very, very simple points. One of them is, in order to be successful at anything, to make stuff, and the other one is to talk to people. And
absolutely.
My best advice would be, don't do one without neglecting the other. Don't think that, because it's very easy to procrastinate going out and networking like we're doing now, because it's scary, right? To talk to somebody you don't know and to talk about yourself. But hiding in a hole and studying really hard and getting really good at your discipline and then thinking, then I'll be good enough to go and talk to people is the wrong mentality, because they both inform each other. We go out and talk to people like you do. You go out, like you said, you ask a question, they give you advice, they give you more direction, and then you can go back and do a better job at what you're practicing at. So best advice is to do everything that you're doing right now. Go out to events, talk to people, then go home and keep practicing.
Absolutely.
I think my advice is probably boringly similar to what everyone else has just answered, but I think my advice to my younger self would be definitely start networking as soon as possible. I found immediately also just game devs tend to be interesting and lovely people, so like that's one thing that's great. And I think additionally, definitely the thing about reaching out to people is that like everyone you reach out to is also asking for help from other people, so like just be polite, and I'm sure people can always answer questions and will want to help.
Oh no, fantastic advice. And I think maybe an advice I would probably give is, I can definitely give several, but I think my number one advice would be like, learn to give good feedback, I think would be a really good one. It doesn't really matter if you are a client or an artist or anything. I think just in general, especially as audio people, like we can discuss game audio in so many different ways, and we can continue discussing until the end of time. But I've seen a lot of, unfortunately, some nastiness with some disagreements, and it has happened to me. And it's like, cool, but it's absolutely fine to disagree with me on a certain point. But yeah, please don't do any like weird name calling and all that.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, be genuine and be kind, basically is the underlining point. Because at the end of the day, working in the industry is all about friendships and relationships. You may not agree with one person at this moment in time, but you know what, next month, a year after, 2 years later, they might be, you know, looking for a particular role, or they might have an open role in their studio or something. But then if you already have that like not quite nice interaction, it'll be a bit awkward, and that person will remember. So yeah, just focus on making genuine friendships and relationships. But on the flip side of it, sometimes you will need to wait, and I think it's the drive to like, oh yeah, I want to like work on a really big game, I want to like write the next Final Fantasy soundtrack and all that is such a huge dream. But you know, you need to learn how to walk before you can run, basically.
Yes.
So yeah, sometimes you will need to play the waiting game, and yeah, just be aware of that.
Yeah, exactly. Because the reason we're good at what we're doing is because we're in it for the long term, right?
So exactly.
It is a long and deliberate process, and it's not going to happen quickly, and it shouldn't happen quickly.
Yeah,
then,
right.
And you never know where, like you were saying, you never know where your next opportunity is going to come from.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a marathon, isn't it? Rather than sprint.
Yeah, it really is.
Obviously, being working in like this kind of like marathon mindset does come with some kind of levels of privilege, because obviously not everyone can be working freelance in as a sustainable financial situation, obviously. Mm-hmm. So it goes back to my other point of being in a kind industry, being a welcoming industry. Time check. So we have like actually a few more minutes, so I'm gonna like throw a random question, which I'm not prepped you all up for, but I am going to ask you all like what is your favorite project you've worked on. So like let's end on like a high note.
Okay, sure.
So open to the floor. We don't have to go in order, maybe, just because I realize that we do have a few extra time.
Okay.
So
I like the
anyone
order.
Want to take it?
I like the order. Come on, Kai. Tell us.
Yeah.
So I'll go for I'll probably end up saying the VR project that I did work on, which is called Squingle, by the way. It's really cool. Because I got I don't mind being thrown in the deep end and just seeing what I can do. And that was like a real opportunity to do it because like, I had no prior experience in that kind of thing. So it was really exciting to just watch myself grow for a year and a half with that project and see like my skills change and what I was good at, what I wasn't, and being able to identify those things so that I could then like outsource or get help, that kind of thing. And yeah, I definitely felt like I grew as an audio designer on that project because there was just so much involved and the team were really, really good with that. So we had like a really good little community going and regular check-ins to see how we're doing. So I think, yeah, from like a collaborative perspective and also just growing as an audio designer, I think that was the best for me.
Right, Equally, my favorite project is the one that came out a couple months ago, the Elder Souls.
Oh, and congrats on the release.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
I'm just happy that I survived. I didn't mess it up too bad. Because like at the start, 3 or so years ago, like I didn't know anything of anything. Mm. So I just set myself a very simple aim of just, like I said, surviving, making sure that I did everything that worked and it suited, and then next time I could build and make something unique or whatever that means. But again, for the same reason, I just enjoyed the challenges and enjoyed how much I grew over that time. And seeing that growth is really encouraging. And it doesn't take long to see that either, right?
Probably my favorite project to work on is not completely out, but Project Grove, which the prologue is currently out for. Just simply because the artwork and like the art design in the game was incredibly inspiring. And the kind of style thereafter was like impressionistic, minimalist piano stuff with bits of strings and electronics, which, whilst I can do lots of other styles, is like a style I really enjoy doing it, like writing in. So it was lovely just to have a game that had like an art direction and a goal for the music that fitted with something I like to do. So I think that was the most fun for me because I didn't have to do too much research to like write music
nice.
For it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And
I guess I'll go as well. So my favorite project was, it's a game called Dragonfin Soup. It was released like 6 years ago. It was my most challenging project. It was the one with like the 20 revisions on the one track. But wow. I'm really proud of it because it's just like I wrote like 18 tracks. My goodness, and yeah, I'm gonna keep hold of that memory and try to push forward to like I don't know do another album or something. But it was also my first big project as well. I got to travel. I went to Gamescom in Cologne. I went to Japan at Bit Summit. So fingers crossed that I'll be able to do that those kind of things again. Quick time chat. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. So final question, I promise. We're not going to do the Q&A bit from our prep. So finally, where can people find you on the interwebs and the social medias? Easy question now.
So I'm at Kai Jones Audio on everything, and I've made a habit of using the same profile picture on everything, so you'll be able to find me.
Very useful.
That's key. That is key. Yeah.
Awesome.
Same name and everything. My name is Sergio Ronchetti. Twitter and Instagram, Discord, whatever. Website. I'm an open book. If anybody has any questions, I'm sure we all are. Just shoot. Yep.
You can find me at billypalmermusic.com, and I've got some cards, so if anyone wants to say hi, I can give you my Twitter or whatever, but yeah.
Fabulous, and everyone can find me on mostly Twitter, at JDWasabi. You can find all our names up there on our website and everywhere, you know, just copy and paste everyone's names and put it in the search engine or something, so you'll find us. And that pretty much wraps up our talk. Again, thank you everyone for listening. I hope everyone will enjoy your day. Again, we're all around, so please do come up and ask questions and all that. And that's it.
Cool.
Quick round of applause, everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.